Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion.
Welcome, everyone, to the second annual Compassionate Leaders Circle Awards, celebrating leaders who use their influence to make a positive impact on people and planet. What you can expect in the next 30 minutes, you're going to get a brief overview of Compassionate Leaders Circle and what compassionate leadership is, hear who the 2022 honorees are, and probably most valuable, we're going to have a brief roundtable of rapid-fire questions with each of the honorees, where you'll get to hear from these interesting and accomplished people yourselves. So we'll have you in and out of here in a tight 30 minutes, so stick around. First, I'd like to introduce the team members who are here with us today. So Laurel Donnellan is founder of Compassionate Leaders Circle and creator of the awards. Laurel's coming to us from Sag Harbor, New York. So hi, Laurel. Tracy Goodsell, my colleague, is chief learning officer and is coming to us from Reno, Nevada. And my name is Anthea Rowe. I'm the chief marketing officer and I'm based in London, Ontario, Canada. So the other London that not many people know about. In the audience today, we have people from all over the world, dozens of countries, dozens of time zones. So thank you very much for coming. So Compassionate Leaders Circle. You know, who are we? What do we do? Why did we create these awards? Well, we have a, you know, not crazily ambitious goal of creating a new global economy in which compassion is really the path to profit. You know, you might ask, well, why, right? Why do we need compassion at work? We believe that it's critical for individuals and organizations to create lovable work, for people to love what they do, and organizations to make it possible for that to happen. Compassion at work can seem like a nice to have, especially during difficult economic times, but research shows that compassion is actually critical to people and organizations thriving in periods of difficulty and even emerging stronger. We all know the Great Resignation is real. In the United States alone, 47 million people quit their jobs in 2021. So that's the highest number of voluntary resignations since the Bureau of Labor and Statistics started tracking. We all know it anecdotally and from the headlines. I mean, people are burning out. People are burning out and companies are struggling. So, you know, the good news is compassionate leadership is the antidote to that burnout. What is that? We define compassionate leaders as people who use their heads and their hearts. So not just their heads, use their heads and their hearts to inspire and influence others, to use their heads and their hearts to inspire and influence others, right? And you see how the chain goes. So being a compassionate leader comes naturally to some people, and for others, maybe not so naturally, but the good news is compassion can be learned. And here at Compassionate Leaders Circle, we're experts in compassion education. We have custom change models and frameworks in things like the Donnellan Leadership Method and the 7 C's of Compassionate Leadership, which you can see here. And you're gonna see the honorees today, how their accomplishments and their examples of leading with love at work align to the 7 C's. Really, the bottom line is, we're excited about helping individuals build their confidence, engage their team members, and create really healthy corporate cultures where people and organizations thrive. The Compassionate Leader Circle Awards are really designed to shine a bright light on the people who are doing that, those compassionate leaders around the world. As you'll see, each of the honorees represents one of the 7 C's. And we got over 160 nominations from around the world, from dozens of countries in dozens of different sectors, from technology and manufacturing to sports and entertainment, from universities, faith communities, nonprofit organizations. There's no shortage of examples of compassionate leaders. So I want to emphasize, though, that there are no winners in these awards. The honorees who will be announced today and who we'll hear from were chosen to represent all of the nominees from this year, from past years, as well as everyone everywhere who's leading with love. So before we jump into who those honorees are and hear from them, I first have to say thank you to our sponsor, Angles Inc. Angles Inc. is a digital marketing agency that helps companies find and connect with their ideal clients. Founder Paul Angles and his team have been instrumental in helping Compassionate Leader Circle connect with our community and grow our digital reach online, especially on LinkedIn. So thanks very much to Angles Inc. Okay, so the part we're all waiting for, I'm going to hand things over to my colleagues, Tracy and Laurel, to announce the 2022 honorees for the Compassionate Leader Circle Awards. Tracy.
Thanks, Anthea. So our first honoree is the compassionate and cheerful Kirti Priya, a high schooler at the Army Public School, Dalakuan. She participated in the first Learn with Leaders, Take the World Forward Fellowship, which empowered her to develop a product called Devan that combats malnutrition. Learn with Leaders is a borderless education platform for teens to build their dreams from the inside out. Her research included visiting nearby slums, which showed her that the pandemic had worsened food security for many. Devan is a nutritionally balanced, instant porridge-like product inspired by her ethnicity. With an exploratory grant from MIT Solved, she's perfecting the formula and ultimately aspires to help create a healthcare system accessible and inclusive to everyone. She is an excellent model representative of the next generation of compassionate leaders. And we want to give her and her parents special recognition for staying up so late to be live with us from India. Congratulations to our next honoree, Jen Gray, Chief Operating Officer, US Venues for Topgolf Entertainment Group, where she confidently inspires her team of over 20,000 people every day. Jen is a talented communicator who uses a balance of storytelling, strength, and humility to create positive change. Like many leaders in hospitality and entertainment, she was tested during the pandemic, and at one point, all her US venues were closed. A clear vision to get her team back to work and her customers back to play drove her forward. She worked tirelessly with each local government across the US to show them how Topgolf could reopen and operate safely. Miraculously, she and her team got every location open and brought employees back to work within 4 months. She's passionate about Topgolf's commitment to inclusivity and enjoys supporting other organizations like Make-A-Wish and Habitat for Humanity.
Deborah Sass and Thomas Reamer are the co-CEOs at Space Hero, democratizing space training and travel. Space Hero is the world's first ever global competition series where contestants compete for a $55 million 10-day trip to space, the biggest prize ever awarded on TV. The competition for this once-in-a-lifetime journey is open to anyone over 18 who speaks English. And the pre-registration process is now available. Deborah is a seasoned entertainment industry executive and has recently joined the World Economic Forum Global Space Council. Thomas is a leader in the information technology and media industries with over 25 years of experience. Their exciting venture is a case study for how co-leadership can be highly effective and how creative collaboration can change the world. Congratulations, Deborah and Thomas, and we will look forward to watching your first season in 2023. Catherine Toba Wohi is a contemplative leader who grew up in Liberia, West Africa, and the United States. Her ventures are deeply rooted in humanitarianism and ensure that marginalized communities, particularly Black and Brown children, have equal opportunities. As a very busy community organizer and serial entrepreneur, she has created Black Parent Magazine, the National Black Youth Summit, and After School AI. Her personal approach to contemplation involves walking her phone and Slack. She walks at least 25 minutes a day to connect to intuition, and her system communicates her light bulb moments to her team in real time. One of her best ideas came during the pandemic when she pondered how to help her local teens who lost their after-school activities. She invested her stimulus check to launch After School AI, a program that introduces underrepresented youth in grades 6 to 12 to artificial intelligence through a project-based approach, hands-on learning, and civic engagement. You can honor Catherine for her work in global and local communities by making a donation of any amount at afterschoolai.org.
Ashley T. Brundage started her career in empowering differences to survive discrimination, and instead of becoming bitter, she got busy using civility as a path to power. While fighting harassment and homelessness, she found employment as a part-time associate and then rose to National VP of Diversity and Inclusion at a large financial services organization in less than 5 years. She captured this unique career development process in her new award-winning book and online course called Empowering Differences. Ashley's approach to culture change in organizations and communities starts with how we are all different, some seen and some unseen. If we follow her example of civility, these differences can be a foundation for courageous and civil conversation. Thanks, Ashley, for giving us a roadmap for understanding and addressing bias through your beautiful life and work. Josh Tetrick is an immensely curious CEO and co-founder of Eat Just Inc., a food technology company with a mission to build a healthier, safer, and more sustainable food system in our lifetimes. His impressive background speaks to his passions for learning, teaching, and making the world better. Before founding Eat Just, Josh led a United Nations business initiative in Kenya and worked for former President Clinton and Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. As a Fulbright scholar, Tetrick taught school children in Nigeria and South Africa and is a graduate of Cornell University and the University of Michigan Law School. The company's expertise is powered by a world-class team of scientists and chefs spanning more than a dozen research disciplines. Eat Just created America's fastest growing egg brand, which is made entirely of plants, and the world's first to market meat made from animal cells instead of slaughtered livestock. We're grateful to Josh for following his curiosity to an innovative path that is more just for animals, for people, and for the planet.
Layla Taraf is a courageous senior human resource executive with over 25 years of professional experience advocating for workers at innovative large companies. After graduating with her MBA from Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley, she served as the chief people officer at Walmart.com, Pete's Coffee and Tea, and Allbirds. Currently, Layla is a sought-after speaker, human capital advisor, and executive coach to several private equity and venture-backed companies. She is the author of Strong Like Water, which tells the story of how she became a more integrated and compassionate leader. The book is raw, real, and revelatory. Strong Like Water should be required reading for all current and future leaders who want to become more courageous themselves. Congratulations to Layla and all the 2022 recipients of the Compassionate Leader Circle Awards. And I will now turn this back over to Anthea.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone, and congratulations. Absolutely. So now let's tap into this incredible brain trust we've got here in the remaining time we have together. We're going to have, as promised, a rapid fire round of questions, one for each of you. So Pierre Tapria, you developed a porridge to feed malnourished people in your community while still in high school. So what advice do you have for someone who wants to address a big challenge like hunger or malnutrition, but doesn't know where to start?
Somebody I was interviewing when I was working on this, they told me you can't win a war with solely a head or solely a heart. So I would say that you have to be empathic to the audience that you're catering to the people you're speaking, because they each have their own nuances and their problems. They are not numbers solely, they are also people. But you have to also look at mass data. So combine the both, and don't let the rationality make you any less human, and your humanity make you any less brilliant, logical, and forward in your thinking.
Oh my gosh. Well, we have a job for you at Compassionate Leader Circle when you're ready to join us. We couldn't have said it better ourselves. Thank you, Kirti Priya. Jen Gray, there must have been times during the pandemic when you lacked confidence in your ability to lead Topgolf through the shutdowns. When those times happened, what did you do to regain your confidence and to keep moving forward?
Thank you. I really think about this in two ways. The first one is, what are the things that keep us from being confident? Things like self-doubt or comparison or fear or anxiety. And sort of the antidote for some of those are words for me that mean really something meaningful, like gratitude, grace, and patience. And I think as compassionate leaders, we give those things to others pretty willingly, because we typically have a high level of empathy, and that sort of what makes us compassionate. But what inspires confidence is when we apply those words like grace and patience to ourselves, and we recognize that we can't, there's always going to be those things that cause self-doubt, and getting back into that space of being grounded in gratitude, treating others with grace and patience is really a key component of what made my ability to kind of lead through this change. And then I also think about this spectrum of fear and acceptance, as everyone was living on that spectrum, you know, during the pandemic and during our shutdown, and meeting people where they are with a high awareness of empathy and understanding that part, and helping them move through that change curve, with a tremendous amount of grace. So I think those are kind of the two points that helped me through the change.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. And there's a reason that you're all nominated, because it's as if you're reading from, you know, the compassionate leadership frameworks. But for everyone watching, you know, they weren't scripted, we swear. Thanks so much, Jen. And Deborah, over to you next. You and Thomas were reflected in the category of collaboration. So tell us about a collaboration at Space Hero that you're most excited about. Could be one in the past or current, or even one that you'd love to see in the future.
Thank you very much, Anthea. Nice to meet you. It's very easy to talk about collaboration when you're the co-CEO of a company with a man. Whether it's a man or a woman, it's still challenging having two people. Thomas and I have known each other for 20 years, so we have collaborated socially and now professionally. But the real collaboration comes with our diverse and very inclusive staff or team that we have put together from nothing. We have 18 languages. We started a global company during the pandemic, and we did all of it without meeting any of them face to face. Now, when you're sending somebody, a normal person, to space on a global televised television show broadcast event, it's never been done before. People will laugh at you all the time. In fact, we had people laughing at us all the time. But what we did was collaborate and work with the space industry all over the world. There are 68 space agencies in 68 countries, just an FYI. We work with almost all of them. So collaboration is really the fun part of what we get to do. And we get to really talk the talk and walk the walk. So thank you, Compassionate Leaderships, for giving us this brilliant award.
Fabulous. So to your co-founder and co-CEO, Thomas, Thomas, for everyone listening, in your experience, what's the key to successful collaborations inside or outside your organization? With Deborah or others or team members?
I first of all want to say thank you for this award. I think that you have created a very, very important award. And it's funny that this group at the moment looks very, very small. I'm sure that in the next years, this is going to be the most important business award that there is, right? And we are going to help you get there because, as somebody said so quite rightly in the beginning, compassion is what all of this is about. The key to collaboration is very, very simple, and Debs and I practice that every day. You have to be humble, leave the ego at the door. You have to listen, right, to really understand what the other person wants and maybe wants to achieve. You have to be tolerant because, you know, not everything is going to be to your liking. And you have to create together, right? I think the world is very separated at the moment. We have to bring it together. Unity is on the cards of Space Hero a lot. And Debs and I are really, you know, going forward with all of this, hoping to lead by example. And believe us, we have not been successful all of the times, but we are getting there, and it's a great journey so far. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks so much, Thomas. And, you know, recurring themes around, you mentioned humble listening, creating together. That's a really important one. So I'm sure that will come up for other leaders too. Catherine, so for leaders who feel time strapped, taking time to reflect and, you know, in the nomination for you said you take time to ponder, taking time to reflect can feel unproductive. Like I just need to get more done. What are the risks if we don't take time to reflect on our work or on ourselves?
Well, first, thank you for having me. Thanks for this award. I'm deeply appreciative. The risk we take is our suffering of our own mental health and oftentimes the projects that we deeply desire to deploy. When we don't take the risk on ourselves, we risk not being productive and not being able to give our best to our projects that we want to give.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And congratulations again.
Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, Ashley, over to you. Ashley, in your life, you've responded to harassment, discrimination, you know, differing opinions with grace. What's one tip you can share for remaining civil in the face of disrespect or differing points of view?
Well, thank you so much for having me and for the award. And I have to tell you that I have to agree with Kirtapriya because connecting the mind and the heart is really how we do that. And I built this framework on using empowerment to bring people together. And one of the actions that I chose on purpose was enlightenment. And to bring greater enlightenment to someone, you have to have the knowledge, but you also have to have the understanding. And the validation of that knowledge is where you get to the understanding. And that's where civility lives. It lives in that space where you validate it that someone understands you as a person, your background, you've shared the element in which you move. And there's a lot of polarizing opinions on the transgender community and LGBTQ+ topics and people like who are different. But ultimately, it's our differences that can bring us together. And that is through civility. So thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's a skill, I think, for a lot of us to build a muscle to strengthen. Josh, thanks for joining us. It's obvious that curiosity was key to you becoming not just an entrepreneur, but also someone who developed, you know, meat alternatives, despite not having a background in farming or food science. So tell me, like, in your opinion, how does curiosity benefit any leader?
I think curiosity is helpful because it helps you formulate and say out loud questions that can question everything. I'll give you a good example. We need today many hundreds of billions of animals to feed us. And over a third of our world's land is dedicated to planting feed to feed those animals. What would it look like if we started the food system from scratch? What would it look like if we all consume meat that's entirely free of slaughter? What would have to be true for that world to exist? What would it look like if the food that we fed ourselves and our family didn't cause any harm? It was all about restoration. It was all about longevity. It was all about being more in balance with all of life out there. And that's where I think curiosity has helped me. It's helped me to see through a lot of what is and ask if it could be different, and then fight for it.
Excellent. Thanks so much. And Layla, last but certainly not least, in 30 seconds, tell us about a time you had to advocate strongly for yourself or someone else. What did you do?
So in my role at Allbirds as the chief people officer, leading through a pandemic, I had to venture in a lot of really difficult conversations. And I had to do it with vulnerability and humility, because I was always disappointing somebody. I was either advocating on behalf of the employees and what their new needs were in light of health and safety. And at the same time, I had to advocate on behalf of the company that was concerned about how were we going to get all this work done. And I was always disappointing somebody, which required me to really lean into the discomfort and choose courage over comfort, as we say at Allbirds. And I think in the end, what I got out of it was a greater connection, and I was able to develop a foundation of trust. Even though I was always sort of disappointing someone, they saw that it came from a genuine place.
It's a great encapsulation of courageous leadership. Like, you may always be disappointing someone, but you're confident you're doing the right thing at the time. So thank you, everyone, all the honorees. Laurel, I'm going to pass it over to you for the last question. As founder of Compassionate Leader Circle, I mean, you literally wrote the book on compassionate leadership, much of which we've heard examples of today. So what's the one most important thing that you'd love everyone here today to leave knowing about compassionate leadership?
I'd like everyone who's in attendance today to know that compassion is in you. And we're all compassionate, and we all have the ability to become more compassionate. I'd like to leave you all, including our honorees, with, when in doubt, throw love at it. So if you're having a hard time with yourself or disappointing yourself, love yourself more. If you're dealing with a problem at work, love the problem. If you're watching CNN and someone's upsetting you, find a bigger heart and find some love for that person. So throw love at everything today, and know that we are here, and we will continue this conversation, and we'll continue a platform for these amazing honorees. We'll be sharing lots of information and their stories and their links with you if you've attended, or if you go on Forbes and search for Forbes and Laurel Donnellan, you'll see a story about all these amazing people today on Forbes after 8 p.m. tonight. So thank you, Anthea and Tracy, for being my amazing colleagues. I love you so much.
Well, thank you, Laurel. Congratulations to our 2022 honorees for the Compassionate Leaders Circle Awards. And thank you to everyone, our 160 plus nominees, and everyone around the world who is demonstrating that it's possible to lead with love.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders Podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.